I hate to start the show out with a correction, but a correction of you or me? Yeah, me.
Oh, I love when we start that way.
Made a horrible mistake. Earlier, I had mentioned that Barbara Perry died, and you were I thought you were going to pass out. The actress Barbara Perry passed away. She was a regular, it says here, on the Dick Van Dyke Show, which made a lot of people say, oh, was she? Because I don't know who she played on the Dick Van Dyke Show. And the correct answer was Pickles Sorrell.
Right, which Mary Vandeveld told us.
Mary got that correct, yeah. She was one of two actresses to play Pickles Sorrell. She played it, Barbara Perry, in the first season.
So this is the mistake. The second one?
The mistake is, I said, no. Joan Shawley was the second of the Pickles Sorrells. So I said, that means we only have two surviving members of all the regulars on the Dick Van Dyke Show. We only have two left. Dick Van Dyke himself, and then Larry Matthews, who played...
As the Beaver.
No, that's Jerry Mathers.
Oh, yeah.
Larry Matthews and Jerry Mathers are different people. But that's your Richie. Richie Rosebud.
Cute.
Yeah. Cute. Petrie. So then we got many, many texts from people furious, saying you've left out Carl Reiner, and it's true.
How could you have done that?
I don't know what I was thinking. I have no idea what I was thinking. But the great Carl Reiner, the co-creator of the show, the original Rob Petrie, did you know that?
I did not know that.
And when they made the pilots for the Dick Van Dyke Show, they didn't call it the Dick Van Dyke Show, because how ridiculous would that be to call it that and then not have Dick Van Dyke in it? But he played Rob, at the time, Rob Petrie, not Petrie. But Carl Reiner then, of course, played Alan Brady. So I stand corrected. Thank you for everybody for pointing that out.
I am shocked.
I'm sorry.
And appalled.
I am too. I'm off my game.
Well, that's because you put all your game into your game yesterday.
Into tennis, yes.
Again, you walked away with the championship. What?
I won the Pro-Am tournament at Centennial and Wilmette over the weekend. I was one of three winners, two guys and one woman. And then they didn't, like, I thought, oh, now they're going to have us square off in a fight to the death, like on Game of Thrones. But that was it. Everybody just went, well, we have three winners. And I was one of them. And
that's a get your own, everyone gets a trophy thing. Why are there three winners?
I don't know.
A good thing you're one of them,
I'm
but
thrilled
still.
To be one of them, but I would... And the other winners even want it. They go, well, let's keep going. And they go, no, we have our winners. And, I would have kept going.
This isn't bingo.
No, it's not bingo at all. They don't do Pro-Am bingo tournaments.
I wish they would.
How would that play out? All right. Now I have this. We have this to share with everybody, Wendy. There's a man named Sean. Where's his name?
Sean Mendez.
No, it's not Sean Mendez. Is it Sean Keane? Is that his name? I can't find his name. Anyway, he's a comedy writer, and he has assembled what he considers to be the finest comedians of all time in the world of stand-up comedy, the greatest 25 stand-ups of all time. Now, this is very subjective, because there might be a stand-up comic that everybody loves, and you say to yourself, I don't get it, Kevin Hart. Or there could also be just the opposite. You know, where you love a guy or a girl, and everybody's like, but that guy or girl isn't funny. Why do you love that guy or girl? So we're trusting this guy, but we can debate this. You know, we'll
all
throw
right.
out the names.
I like that.
And we'll debate whether or not these are the 25 greatest stand-ups of all time. Are you ready?
Yes.
Trying to find his name. I want to say it's Sean. It is Sean Keane.
And
I was already wrong once about Carl Reiner, Wendy.
You're shell-shocked a little bit.
Scared.
And this is brought to us by American Weather Makers.
Yeah, the 60-Minute Men. Heating and cooling. What do you need? Heat? You need cool? They got them both.
All right, good.
Spigots.
I got cool from
them. Spigots running. All right. Do you think that Robin Williams is one of the 25 best comedians of all time?
That is not fair for me to judge because
why?
I am not a fan of his stand-up comedy. I told you, and I feel guilty about that.
Why?
But now I appreciate what he's done. I just liked him better when he did the serious roles.
Yeah, he was very good in the serious roles.
I'd have to put him down as one of the tops.
Right.
Even though
you don't like him, you're still willing to admit.
I don't dislike him. I've seen funnier comedians. That's not like my style.
But wouldn't you agree that he was such a force of nature on stage,
yes.
Such a ball of energy, such a nonstop? I mean, he is to stand-up comedy what Jamie Holzhauer is to Jeopardy.
Yes.
Where you just go, how can he be that fast? You know? And more times than not, if you would analyze what Robin Williams had just said and got a huge laugh with, it wasn't always brilliant, but the way he sold it was so good that you go, that was so fast and so quick and so good, and then you're moving on to the next thing. But if you would analyze it, you would go, wait, Morley Safer's bar mitzvah, what's he talking about?
Well, I never really liked Ed Grimley either, and they have the same kind of delivery. That's what I think of.
Yeah? Like Ed Grimley?
Yeah, because he's but he's like standing up and moving.
Force of nature,
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like with his mannerisms,
There's no downtime. It's just constant
that's
movement.
That's too much.
But I
like Stephen Wright.
Right. Low impact. Low impact. I get it. I understand.
But I do give Robin Williams a ton of credit for paving the way and for being a great stand-up, just not technically
not
my
your
style.
Favorite. Now, keep in mind, and I've mentioned this on the show before, Robin Williams was notorious for borrowing, quote-unquote, material from other comics.
Then why do you still support him so greatly? Usually you hate people like that.
You're right. Usually if somebody's a comedy
thief,
normally I would agree with you. But there was something about him. It was often said that the way his mind worked is he was constantly looking for the next line. And sometimes the line he found was somebody else's. And I kind of believe that. I don't like to think he was consciously stealing from other comics. But I've mentioned this before. It was famous that for years, if you'd see him somewhere and you'd say, hey, Robin, that thing you do about roller skates, that's my bit. He would hold up his hand and go, hold on. And then he would write you a check for $1,000 and hand it to you. And that was his way of saying, you're right. At some point, I wasn't thinking clearly, and I did a joke about roller skates, and that's your joke, and I'm sorry, here's $1,000.
But did he ever say that, or did he just give the check?
On many occasions, I read this book about him where he admitted the fact that he, you know, sometimes borrowed from other comics, and believe me, I'm so against that, but I somehow, in his case, give him the benefit of the doubt. I like him that much. Hard to believe, but I do.
You never give anyone the benefit of the doubt for stealing.
I don't.
That is like one...
I know.
That's your mortal sin.
I know. I know it is. All right. Who's next after Robin Williams? I have to admit, I'm on a website now where whenever I try to change the page to the next guy, it tells me it's not available. So I don't know how to handle this.
What's the name of the article?
It's called The 25 Greatest Stand-Up Comedians of All Time by Sean Keane. But there were three different versions of it, and the first two that I've gone to, like in the office when I go to it, it lets me do it.
Well, go to the office. I'll just call you.
That's easy.
Oh, come on.
All right.
Was it from MSN?
Yes.
You're so easy to
figure out. It was on MSN.
I hate slideshows.
All right, here's another version. Let me see if this one works. Why won't that work? It's from... Is it showing up on your computer?
Yeah.
No. This one's a different Sean Keane. This one's an assemblyman. I don't think that'll work. All right, let me see if this one will work. Hold on a second. Everybody be patient.
Otherwise, I can just read them.
Jazz, do we have some pleasant music? That's good. All right, here's the next one. Ready?
Yeah.
Bill Hicks.
Now, I was late to the Bill Hicks party. I just didn't know about him very much.
Don't feel bad. I think a lot of people, even as I said the name, went, I don't know who that is.
Kevin Matthews is the one who kind of mentioned him, and I thought, I'm going to check this out, and I liked what I saw.
He was, if not brilliant... an inch shy of brilliance. He died very young. He was 32 years old. He had pancreatic cancer.
Jeez.
I was lucky enough to see him perform several times.
Really?
Every time I saw him, he did different material. He had a certain way about him, which seemed irritated. You know how Lewis Black, you just go, that guy is just irritated. Bill Hicks invented that and really just mastered it, you know?
He was really talented.
So funny. So funny. There's so many bits he did. The one thing, all right, several things made me laugh really hard, but I'll share this one with you, and I can do this because we're on the stream. I don't know if I would tell you this story on regular radio, but I will tell you this bit. He did a thing where he talked about his porn collection, and he said, at some point, I'm going to die. He goes, and somebody's going to have to clean out my apartment, and they're going to find the Library of Congress's version of porn in my apartment. And he goes, I hope so badly it's not my mom, because my mom has this image of
right.
me that if she walks into my apartment after I'm gone and finds this stuff, it'll be shot forever. And he just goes into great detail about what he's got in his collection. And it was so, so brutally honest.
Yes.
You go, wow, I wonder how many people are listening to this going, wow, I better do something about that, you know?
You know what, though? That just goes to show you how much we try to impress our moms.
Yes, it does.
I mean, everything.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But that's good comedy, because it worked on several levels.
Yeah.
It worked on the level of a guy admitting that he's got this weird collection. and then on the same token, it made us go, wow, we've got something. We've got something that might need to be hidden once we die.
Yeah. So,
yeah, Bill Hicks was really good. If you've never been lucky enough to, well, very few of you, I'm guessing, and you'll never get a chance, but find his work on YouTube. He's so funny. Bill Hicks is his name. Another of their list of the 25 greatest stand-ups of all time. This is according to Sean Keane. Gary Shandling.
Gary was a weird dude and was not, he was kind of weird looking. He
How
really
so?
Was. He
because
just,
why?
He had a weird look to him. He, I don't know how to describe it. He was a weird looking guy. But he still delivered the funny.
Oh boy, he really did. He really did. There was a time where he was in line for the Tonight Show job.
I forgot he died.
When it was down to like five. Yeah, he died.
Just till my, I mean,
yeah.
I just was.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He is one of those people that you have to catch yourself and you go, wait, he died. Gary Shandling died?
Man.
But he did. There's a great documentary about him that was made about a year ago. If you haven't seen it, I urge you to see it. It talks about how he lost a sibling. He lost a brother very early in life, and it kind of changed the course of his life. That from then on, he used to kind of just blend in. Gary Shandling, as a child, he just blended in. And through losing a brother, he wanted a kind of a new acceptance of life to stand out a little bit more, you know, the question is, and I asked this question before I even saw it. If his brother hadn't have died, would he have followed the world of stand-up comedy? And the answer is probably no. You kind of get that impression that he would have been very happy just kind of being in the background until his brother died.
The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling.
Yeah.
Really good.
It's so good. If not in the top 25 for Gary Shandling, I'd put him right around.
He's
right
top
around
25.
There. Yeah, yeah.
You don't. You're. I really think so.
This one I know you'll agree with. Phyllis Diller.
I adored her.
Why do you think? How come?
I liked her. Honest to God, I liked her being not your typical woman.
Mm-hmm.
She could hang with the guys and talk dirtier than the guys. She was funny. She wasn't afraid to put herself out there. She was nuts.
Yeah.
I just really liked her.
And went out of her way to make herself bigger than life. You know, the way she dressed,
the feather
her makeup,
boas.
The feather boa, the cigarette, the long cigarette
yeah.
holder.
Which you just, was it you who told me a story that she never really smoked?
No, I knew that. Somebody
oh, okay.
else told us the story a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, she didn't smoke. It was just a prop. But yeah, she painted herself as kind of an odd duckling socialite, talked about her husband, Fang, and their relationship. One of those set up punchline type comedians,
yeah.
you know, but so good. And at a time where women really had a hard time getting stage time, she mastered it. She was just plain funny.
I don't know. I mentioned Toady Fields earlier
yeah.
when, Cochran asked me who I thought was funny. I remember seeing Toady Fields and Phyllis Diller. Who was first, though? Were they about the same time?
Yeah, they were kind of contemporaries, yeah. One might have preceded the other by a year or two,
but
not
they were
much
pretty
more.
Close
yeah.
together. And then Joan Rivers was after that?
A little bit after.
Because Joan
after.
I liked, but Joan I didn't like as much. And I actually grew to like Joan later on.
Oh, she was so good.
She really was so good.
When
she would fill in for Johnny,
yeah.
she really could hold
yeah.
her own.
Yep, no question about it. Also on the list here, Tig Notaro.
I have, within the last 5 or so years, gotten to know her stand-up, and I love her. I don't know if she's top 25.
I don't think she's top 25. The article is entitled, The 25 Greatest Stand-Up Comedians of All Time.
And I love that they're guys and girls.
Me too. But I don't know that Tignataro is one of the 25 of all time.
I don't know. I really like her, and I was unfamiliar with her, and I have found some stuff. I've seen her in things, and mm-hmm. I really like her, but I don't know about top 25 either.
I can't name. Can you name a single bit that she does? Like with most comics, you go, oh, yeah, they're the ones that do the sledding bit. Oh, that's the one who does the crazy Easter bit. I don't know anything that
No, but there are people that I can't, you know.
Right. Right,
really
right,
name their best right. bit.
All right, we will continue this. These are, according to this guy, Sean Keane, comedy writer, these are the 25 greatest stand-up comedians of all time. We'll debate them. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. News is next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
All right, Ryan Burrow joins us in the studio to do some news. Shall we get right into it?
Let's do it. And a formal baby announcement has been posted at Buckingham Palace saying Queen Elizabeth II has welcomed the birth. Wait, I think actually we may have something.
Hello,
we've got some
Ryan. Hello.
Hello.
It is I, the Queen of all England.
Yeah, big day today.
Big day today.
Well, what happened?
Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Sussex. Was safely delivered a son at 0526 hours this morning. The child's name is Prince.
Is that British Standard Time?
British Standard Time. The child's name is Prince Spaghetti. The baby weighs 7 pounds, 3 ounces, or 16 stone. Stone Phillips was in attendance of the baby's birth, as was.
Birth?
The Duke of Sussex was present.
The who of
the
Sussex?
Duke of Sussex.
Oh, I thought you said something else.
Duke of Sussex. Duke. That's all for now.
All right. We're told there is no name for this child yet, but you seem to think
Prince Machiavelli.
Sports and weather next on WGN.
Thanks, Ryan. Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder. If you're just joining us, we have found this list. Sean Keane is a comedy writer who has put together what he says are the 25 greatest stand-up comedians of all time. So far, Wendy, I think you and I have agreed on most of these. All strong stand-ups, some of them not worthy of the top 25 of all time. What about this one? Patrice O'Neill. Are you aware of Patrice O'Neill's work?
I think fairly recently I was aware of him.
See if you notice this trend. Many of these comics are people who died way too early. Robin Williams was that way. Bill Hicks was that way. Patrice O'Neill is that way.
And now Tignataro is worried.
I would be. Yes. Patrice O'Neill, a master of crowd work. Really good with crowd work. It even says here in the story about him. Again, I'm not positive he should be in the 25 of all time.
I don't think so.
But he's a very, very funny man, no question, or was a very funny man, no question about it. Now, this one I know you'll have an opinion on for reasons we'll get into. Dick Gregory.
Currently, and he's no longer with us, didn't he pass away?
But you can't say too soon for Dick Gregory. I think Dick Gregory was in his 80s when he died. He was a political activist. One of the first of the African-American comedians to hit mainstream early on. That happened in the 1960s.
I didn't realize he was a comedian when we talked to him.
because he wasn't funny when we talked to him, you mean?
One time he was.
The first time you and I interviewed him, he was really great. And the last time we interviewed him, it was one of the worst interviews we've ever had.
I'm sure we'll top it.
I know. We'll top it tomorrow.
But
no question.
I mean, I didn't know his early years, so mm-hmm. he was definitely a stand-up, because I always thought him to be more of an activist than a comic.
When I was doing stand-up, you know, I've said this before, but when you spend a week with the other comedians, one of the conversations that always comes up is, why are you doing this? Who were you watching as mm-hmm. a kid that made you want to be a stand-up comic? And Dick Gregory's name came up so many times over the years. People loved him. I had seen him do stand-up, and I don't know if I told you this. I did a TV pilot with him years and years and years ago, where he was not meant to be funny. He was going to be serious, and he was a very, very nice man, a well-read, extremely respected guy. But I never thought his stand-up was great. I always thought his stand-up was interesting, but nothing Dick Gregory ever said made me laugh hysterically, like, wow, was that great. He was capable. He knew how to do it, but I would not put him in the top 25 of all time.
No, and I mean, it's a tough thing to judge because, you know, what kind of comic do you like? Do you like the setup punchline?
Right.
Do you like the... I mean, I guess I like a variety of it, but it's like artwork. You hear a comedian or
True.
See them, and it's like you love them or
Right.
you don't. I don't know that there's...
Right. His stuff was always very smart, very well thought out, the words chosen properly. I don't know.
In the 60s he did it?
Yeah.
Started stand-up?
Here's
yeah.
one of his quotes. In most places in the country, voting is looked upon as a right and a duty, but in Chicago, it's a sport.
That's funny.
I don't know if that's activism or if that's a joke, or maybe a combination of both.
Well, he towed the line of both more times than not.
Political promises are much like marriage vows. They're made at the beginning of the relationship between candidate and voter, but they are quickly forgotten.
That from the Dick Gregory, Dixie Riddle Cup line
that's
that did not sell well.
I want to. I just.
But I mean, without a doubt, to be well respected forever, you know, and certainly groundbreaking. But I would not put him at one of the top 25 of all time. You already know how I will vote on this gentleman, Don Rickles.
Loved Never heard him. Of him.
Love him.
Just kidding.
Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him. And I think about him all the time. I think about that night that myself and several guys went to go see him in Milwaukee.
And you and hugged him?
And how he kept, and I hugged him. And
you're not a hugger.
I'm not a hugger, but I need it. I warned him in advance. Mr. Rickles, I will hug you. I am going to hug you. And remember what he said to me? That's fine, but no tongues.
Oh, yeah.
He said on three different occasions that night, don't let them forget me, Billy. Say my name. Make
that
sure people don't
me.
Forget me.
No yeah. one forgets him. No one will ever forget
I don't think that's possible. But in his waning years, that was his biggest fear, that throughout that incredible body of work, that the next generation wouldn't remember him. But, you know, he was such
so
an innovator.
Mean.
With stuff that, well, you know, what's funny is he was not. He was the opposite of that. But his stage persona was to be that cutthroat, take no prisoners, everybody's going down.
He's making
I don't
fun
care
of
what
everyone,
religion you are,
yeah.
what color you are, what you're going down.
Who picks your clothes, Stevie Wonder?
Right. He would say that.
But can I just say, and again, I'm not saying, I hate when I go, well, back then it was acceptable. But back then, that's how you made jokes. You made fun of someone's differences. I'm
right.
not saying it's right, but that was like the first stand-up, wasn't it? Where you draw attention to someone who's different from
kind
you?
Kind of, yeah. Kind of, yeah.
And people did it in
yeah.
different ways. He did it in
right.
in the rudest of ways, but it was funny.
Does that make him more forgettable moving forward then? Because that comedy doesn't hold up as much anymore?
I'm sure that somebody today, I'm sure that people my children's age, my daughters are 22, they might watch a tape of him and just shake their heads going, but all that is political incorrectness. Mm-hmm. That's all he's doing. And there's something to that, but I can't explain it. I felt so guilty the night that we went to see him, and it was Jeff Hoover from the WGN TV Morning News, and it was Dave Plyer from here at WGN, and it was Rich Coase, you know, from Svengoolie, and we were all just...
What a motley crew, right? I gotta tell you.
Did you guys pull up in an Uber? What happened there?
We're watching him, and we're crying. We're laughing so hard, but we would catch each other's eye, and we would shake our heads like, this is so wrong. Everything he said and did was so wrong.
But if it was a comic who was just starting out today and was
yes.
doing it...
What chance would they stand?
But that would be wrong.
Right, right.
This he is nostalgic. He's doing what he did.
I know. I don't even want to give you examples because you would roll your eyes and go, you laughed at that? There was so much stuff that as I'm laughing, I felt so guilty.
Sure.
But
he made fun of Asian people. He made fun of Italians.
Everybody.
I'm Italian. We'd watch him. My grandfather, who was born in Venice, would watch him and laugh.
Right.
I mean, honestly, we need a little more laughing at ourselves.
Right.
We do.
Right. And you have to know that the people who walked in, the African-American couple who walked in, the Asian couple who walked in, the Hispanic couple, they knew
what they were getting into.
They were going to get made
yeah.
fun of.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. They knew. And then, all right, so he did a thing. Don Rickles did a thing throughout his entire career, not just the night that I saw him, but forever, where at the end of his show, he said, I just spent the last hour making fun of everybody, but I want you to know that inside we're all the same. We're all brothers. We're all sisters. We need to get along. He would make this speech about how
He did that from day one?
And when I was a kid and I knew he did that, I'm like, oh, don't do that. Don't throw in the disclaimer.
Yeah.
Let people believe that you're a shark. Walk out of there with people going, that guy just ripped everybody to shreds. But he wanted it to be known that this was just fun and games, that really we need to come together and not be apart, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess that was a good thing, right? But it was, I love this guy, I love Don Rickles.
But here's the difference too. I mean, we all loved him, but that's what you did for a living for a while. So he meant more to you than he did to me.
Oh, sure.
So it's, you know, there's no apologies. I know you're not apologizing for liking him, but.
I'm not apologizing for liking him. I surprised myself and, you know, There was so much stuff, not just that night, but for a lifetime of watching him and admiring him, where you just go, this guy's ripping on people just because of the color of their skin or because of their religious beliefs or, you know, whatever. But somehow in my head, I'm like, yeah, but he's so funny, you know? So I don't know where the guilt starts and ends there. So, yes, Don Rickles is certainly on my list of the top 25. When do you put him on there, too?
100%.
What about Bob Newhart?
Now, I am not as familiar with his stand-up as you are. I know him from when I saw him on the Bob Newhart shows.
Right?
Yeah. And I didn't really watch the second one.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Hi, Bob.
I just watched that one. And, you know, since then, I've heard him and I've seen stand-up and it's like, wow, he was really good.
He was really good.
I have not seen him, by the way, since the Cubs were in the World Series. I know there were some social media posts by family members. What's his status right now? Do we know?
You are such a quizzical little newsman.
He's, you know, he doesn't work as often as he used to work. He still does stuff. The most amazing thing to me about him, about Bob Newhart, is this. He was an ad guy. He wrote copy. He was a copywriter. And he started to do stand-up, and it took off for him immediately. So he's got a couple of albums, comedy albums, that are considered to be among the best comedy albums of all time, because they are. One of them is called A Button Down Mind. And I had heard that album so many times over the years. And in my head, the way it played out was, he did stand-up for several years, and he had all that material ready, and then he did it on the album, on Button Down Mind. And then I came to learn a couple years ago that album was recorded live, and it was all new material that he had never done even once before.
Wow. Really?
Huh.
Which is inconceivable that a guy could be that good with that much material his first time out. But there's 40 to 45 solid minutes of stand-up on there that he had never, ever done once before. Wow. So that
89
alone.
Years old, went to Loyola University.
Yep, he's
grew
from
up in
Chicago.
Oak Park. Yeah.
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 Very talented man. So funny. Wendy Red Fox.
I just know him from Sanford and Son, and then I know his stand-up that was very dirty.
Extremely dirty. Very blue. Very, very blue.
He still was one of the pioneers.
He would shock audiences because they were so used to seeing him be Fred Sanford, and then they'd go see him in Las Vegas, where he was swearing a mile a minute, and they would just go, wait a minute, Fred Sanford's not like this.
Yeah, but you knew Fred Sanford, had he been allowed to swear, would have.
Right. Right.
I mean, don't you think that he was just definitely a pioneer in the world of comedy?
Oh, yeah.
Top 25, yep. Would you put him there?
I wouldn't put him in the top 25.
All right,
I'd put
good, because I wouldn't either.
Somewhere in the top 50 to 100.
All right.
But not top 25. But he was really, really, really funny. And there are stories about him that I cannot tell.
But now those are the only ones I want to hear.
I can't. Dave Attell. Uh-oh.
I don't know him well enough to judge. I think he's good.
He
may not be for me.
He's really good, but it's funny because there's no flash at all to Dave Attell. He just...
I know we talked to him, and I know you like him. He doesn't stand out. Maybe I haven't watched enough.
Yes,
that
go
might
back
be
and
it.
Watch more all of him. Right. Because he's one of the guys that, like, the guys who are up and coming now, like the generation that started 8 to 10 years ago, but they're still in this wave, they always, always, always mention him as one of the, you know, like the role models of stand-up. Like, everybody always says, you're probably doing an impression of either Jerry Seinfeld, Dave Attell. There's one or two names that always come up for young comics? Like, you must have seen Jerry Seinfeld. You must have seen David. Because you're doing that kind of stand-up bit, you know? Very, very funny guy. He does a joke where he goes, everybody remembers the song that was playing the first time they had sex. I remember mine. It went like this. That's just funny.
What's the two things they tell you are the healthiest to eat? Chicken and fish. You know what you should do? Combine them. Eat a penguin.
That's not funny to me. I'm an animal lover, though.
I love penguin jokes.
I mean,
he does is penguin jokes.
It's a half-hour set.
And it's not fair for me to judge, because some of these comedians, like, he's kind of grouped in the same category as, like, a Patton Oswalt or Bill Burr.
True.
Patton, again, I only know from King of Queens, and now he's on AP Bio.
He's a great stand-up.
And I've seen, once I knew him from the TV show, then I've seen his stand-up, and it's like, wow, right. He's really good. Bill Burr, I didn't know till, like, maybe 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's
so
about
I'm not
it. That's
familiar
most
enough.
People's timeline on Bill Burr, because he really hit it big about five
and when
years
about,
ago.
And when did Dave Attell?
Most people would tell you Dave Attell still hasn't hit it big, that he's not a household name.
Maybe that's why I'm not aware of him as much.
If you see his name, if he's going to be on one of the late night shows or something,
watch him.
Cause
I'll
he's
watch
really,
the videos.
Very, very funny.
By the way, Dave Marzullo just emailed me that apparently Bob Newhart was at the rap party for Big Bang Theory last week. So,
oh, yeah. Well, he's done a running
that.
Character
yeah.
on Big Bang
okay.
Theory.
Okay. All right.
So that makes sense. Thank you, Dave, for that.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Wright.
I loved him.
So good. So good. One
haircut,
of the best comedy writers of all time.
Really?
Yeah. All those jokes are just... The wording on them, like, it's a comedian's thing to take a joke and then you go, whatever joke you write, you could probably slice off a third of it or a quarter of it to make it more succinct and get to the point faster. The wording on every one of his jokes is flawless. It's just perfect.
I'm probably remembering this incorrectly, but, you know, I spilled spot remover on my carpeting. And now I can't find the dog.
Right.
I just love that one.
Right. What's the joke about, I went to a restaurant and the sign on the door said breakfast anytime, so I ordered an omelet during the Renaissance.
Yes, yes, yes.
God, is that funny.
That's just
perfect.
I love that.
Yeah, he's so good.
Is he still performing?
Not much. There's a picture of him on The Tonight Show. And it doesn't say what year it is, but he looks considerably older than I'm used to seeing him, and beefier. He's such a thin guy. The first time I ever saw him, I saw him live twice, and the first time was at Who's on First in Elmhurst, a comedy club, a long gone comedy club that I used to work at, and I don't know how much time he did. He must have done an hour and 10 minutes or an hour and 20 minutes, but everything worked. I mean, usually there's some downtime in a guy's act. It was just nonstop. And all of his jokes, I mean, think about it. A lot of times when comedians spin their yarn, the jokes go on and on and on and on. All of his jokes were 15 seconds long, 10 or 15 seconds long.
I love it.
So you got to put a lot of jokes in an act that's an hour and 10 minutes.
Here, he is on Twitter, so I'm going to follow him. And here's what his bio says. I was born when I was 20. Oh, I'm sorry. I read it. I was born when I was 23. I'm like, isn't that funny? I was born when I was 23. I started telling jokes. Then I started going on television and doing films. That's still what I am doing. The end.
That was quick. He had, of all the comics I ever saw, I think he had the best one-word answer to coming out on stage. So the crowd would be, you know, they'd say, ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Wright. And the crowd would go bananas. And no reaction from him. Just go right out to the microphone. Wait for the applause to die down and just go, thanks. And that was it. Just so underwhelmed, you know?
He's got a show a month, like every other month maybe, like Vegas, New Jersey, West Virginia, and Florida. So he's just doing minor tours.
Oh.
Not going countrywide.
Oh.
But we should try and talk to him.
Love Stephen Wright. All right, let me give you one or two more really quickly. Mort Saul. Are you familiar with him at all?
Yeah.
Political comedian. Hit his stride in the 60s, still worked into the 70s and into the 80s. I don't think he works at all anymore. I can't remember the last time I saw his name working anywhere. Quite an innovator when it came to political comedy. Now, keep in mind.
My least favorite.
Of all the branches of comedy.
Seriously, yeah.
But now, think about this. In the 60s, when he was doing political comedy, there was nothing like The Daily Show or John Oliver.
True.
Or Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update. There was nothing really taking pokes at politics except for him and Dick Gregory and Lenny Bruce and a couple of other guys that were brave enough to do it, and you could get arrested for it. Lenny Bruce kept getting arrested,
yeah,
not for doing political, but for doing, you know, dirtier stuff.
And there was a lot going on in the 60s and the 70s.
So much.
But I was too young to really care that much, to be behind all the things that was going on.
Yeah.
And the kids today do care about politics,
right.
But there was...
But we found a way to, I mean, now it's all over TV.
I hated it.
Did you?
When I was growing up, it's like, you know, I was too little.
You didn't want to hear it.
I didn't.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so happy that our kids are, they do want to hear it and they want to talk about
it. Right. All right, I got to throw one more out really quickly, because you could debate this one for 3 hours if you wanted to. Bill Cosby.
Yeah, you have to give credit where credit is due. You don't have to say it was a great man, but he was a great comic.
This is the toughest one because of the obvious fall from grace, but 10 years ago, there would be no debate at all. Somebody said, everybody's three or four top comics are always going to be the same. It's always going to be Richard Pryor. It's always going to be George Carlin. And it was almost always going to be Bill Cosby. You couldn't debate it. But now with everything that's happened off camera, then it gets a little tricky.
I think you can still say he was one of the top comics of all time, because he was.
Like Pete Rose, one of the greatest hitters of all time,
yeah.
Barry Bonds.
Can't take that away from
him. But... .. Yeah.
Now, they've taken a lot away from him, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Awards, scholar...
from Bill Cosby?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he's in jail.
He's in jail, yeah. And his home.
Yeah.
And losing his eyesight. And, I mean, you know, it's not a happy ending for him at all.
No. If you want to see the complete list, Sean Keane is the writer, and it's called The 25 Greatest Stand-Up Comedians of All Time. It's on a website called Yard Barker, but you can also find it on MSN. That's where I found it.
Who's it by?
Sean Keane.
Do you get $5 every time? You've said his name like
Sean
10 times
Keane.
Today. Let's.
What is the? How does the Queen say his name?
Sean Keane. Hello.
There's a hello at the end of it, of course.
Yes. Right.
Maybe that's the name of the new baby, by the way.
Is there any update, Queen?
No. Mind your own business.
Are you a fan of the band, Queen?
No.
Thanks, Ryan, for hanging out.
No problem.
We'll close things off next. If we haven't already, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN. We didn't get to so many good names, Wendy. Jerry Seinfeld, of course, is going to be on this list.
What's the deal? You forget me? Hello. No, I don't. That was me trying to do the Queen.
Jerry Seinfeld doing the Queen?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Mitch Hedberg.
Really?
Love him. Yeah, I'd put him in the top 25.
Oh, I'm getting him mixed up with Max Headroom.
Max Headroom is not on the list. Mitch Hedberg, though, another guy who left this tour. There's a high percentage of these people that died way too early. And on the opposite end are people who lived forever. George Burns was 100 when he died. Who else?
He stopped being funny about
90.
82, though.
Ooh. All right, that's it for us. That's it. We're out of stuff. We're out of time. We have more stuff, but there's no time.
Yes, we're
Maybe
out of
tomorrow
time.
We'll find a way to do it. Tune in again tomorrow, everybody. It should be a good one. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.